You could put that blaster down for a start, before I ask Klunker to take it from you. Ula stared at him for a long, tortured moment. They had a battle to coordinate. And what had really changed? Jet could have revealed Ula's secret at any time, just as Ula could have revealed Jet's, making them even. Nothing was causing the confrontation between them except his own uncertainty and doubt. If Jet thought him brave, perhaps it was time to be. "All right," he said, lowering the blaster. Klunker, who had approached somehow without Ula noticing, stepped away. "Thank you," said Jet with a loose grin. "You know what the weird thing is? I can't tell who you're working for. I mean, I know how it's supposed to be playing out, but on a practical level, you've got me beat. As far as I can see, you're just trying to do the right thing." A series of alarms began to sound. Uh-oh. The smuggler's carefree mood evaporated. This is what happens when you don't pay attention. Ula hurriedly scanned the telemetry. More launches. More agglomerations forming to target the combined fleets. Still no good news from the ground, and no word at all on Lorin or her platoon. A mixed squadron of Republic and Imperial fighters had suffered an internal disagreement, leading to an exchange of fire, and a Turbodyne 1220 dropship had collided with a Republic NR-2 during an assault run. Fierce recriminations were being exchanged by the two sides, and neither Captain Pippoliti nor Colonel Kalish responded to his hails. "Now what?" asked Ula.
"Well, if we're not going to run," said Jet, "I suggest we turn the full capacity of our scheming minds to finding a way to survive."
"Wait a minute. Where's Stryver?"
"I can't see him. He could be around the backside of the moon, or..."
An urgent beeping joined the already strident alarm calls. The map of Sabaddon turned red at the South Pole. Ula stared in amazement as the defensive shell of Hexes began to part, creating an opening.
"They're letting us in?"
"Don't bet on it," said Jet.
Through the opening in the orbital defenses flew the familiar silver quarter moon of Stryver's ship, rising up in a perfectly vertical line.
"What's he doing there?"
"Running, I think."
Close on Stryver's wake came a monster bursting from the heart of the planet. Chapter 38. Lorin ignored the shrieking of alarms and the flashing red lights filling her suit's helmet. The unlucky shot appeared not to have damaged the fuel line to her jet chute, but its gyros were completely destroyed. If her airfoil had been intact, that would at least have been a stabilizing effect. But it was nothing but tatters now. Kicking and skidding wildly across the sky, she was completely out of control. She refused to give in. There had to be a way to bring the jet chute down safely, and her with it. First thing first, to get manual control of the jet. It was behind her, but by letting out the restraints, she could wriggle around so it was thrusting from her chest. The noise was deafening. She darkened her visor so the flashes wouldn't blind her. At least she still had her instruments. It was hard to get a sensible altimeter reading, so she didn't know exactly how much time she had, but the temperature outside was clear, well below the line. Any exposed flesh would freeze solid in just moments. All the better to work quickly then. Tugging off her left glove, she used the artificial digits of her prosthetic to pull at the thruster casing. It fell away behind her. Up or down, she couldn't tell. The horizon was turning wildly around her. Just glancing